Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As we move further into the second quarter of 2021, I want to briefly review with you where we've been. We began in January with a message from Pastor Joshua Harris asking the question, which way do we go? I followed that message up with a message on zeal, a series of four messages that talks about the idea of being determined, diligent, and enthusiastic about our pursuit of God and His kingdom. Then we said that while we have zeal, it is not good to have zeal without wisdom, and followed that up in February with a series of messages on wisdom. And finally, in March, we said that the kingdom of God is to be sought with zeal, thus we had a series of messages on the kingdom of God. Today, as we move forward in the month of April, we know that the situation around the world is not really abating. We still have COVID situations in various parts of Europe, South America, and in some parts of Asia. We know for certain that in my country, the Philippines, it is actually worse than when it started. The question is, how do you survive the current situation? The answer is live with zeal, live with wisdom, and finally, live in the kingdom of God. I want to continue today by talking about what that means. It says in Romans 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Notice the words, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as Paul was saying in this letter, is not about behaviors or what you do or the actions we take, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You and I know that our practices are now being challenged. And we think that just because those are not there, the kingdom of God is not present. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is not just a force, but a person. In the next 3 weeks, I want to talk to you about the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. For today, I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. I thought of entitling this message, "The Irresistible, the Infinite, and the Intimate," because that is ultimately a description of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an irresistible person. For centuries and for the beginning of civilization, people worshiped gods who were monolithic, who were independent, who were based on power and strength. But Jesus came with a very different message. He said, God is love. And more than that, he didn't talk about just a monolithic God or a polytheistic God, but he talked about a very unique God, a God who is one God, but in three persons. We find this revelation in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, where Jesus himself was baptized. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And it says, at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. To be clear, the Holy Spirit is not just a force. He is God himself, a third person in the Trinity. Notice where the Holy Spirit comes down. And then further it goes on in verse 17, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Now we find the picture of the Trinity. The Father speaking, the Holy Spirit descending, and the Son being baptized, a picture of one God in three persons. The Trinity is what makes our faith unique. Most gods are monolithic, monotheistic gods, or one God, and some are polytheistic gods. Ours is a unique God of one God in three persons. Wiser people and brighter and smarter people than us have tried to explain this amazing mystery. Some have used the picture of water, H2O. It defines as a fog or a vapor. It's defined as ice or solid, and it's also liquid. It's these three different characteristics, but really is just one. Some have explained as a flame, that there's a yellow and an orange or red side to it and a blue flame. Now, while all of these may help us understand the idea of one God in three persons, they actually fail to bring us the whole idea of this unique thing about our God, because the reality is he will forever be a mystery. God is a mystery, and that will forever be the case with the Trinity. But what we realize is that he's a unique God, and more than that, he's not just a unique God, but that it proves that the Holy Spirit is God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Notice where he says, and you have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land. Further, he says, what you made you think of doing such a thing, you have not lied just to human beings, but to God." we find that while the uniqueness of the Trinity is, it also reveals to us the forever mystery of God and the truth that the Holy Spirit is God. We desire mysteries. For centuries, people have often looked up at the galaxies and tried to imagine the mystery of why these things were there. And today, we've sent the Hubble telescope, one of the most powerful telescopes, out 600 kilometers above the Earth's surface in search of the orbiting around the Earth, in search of the stars and the galaxies. And it's brought back some amazing pictures. What it does say to us is that the galaxies are endless. There will always, forever be a mystery in God. Why? Because mysteries are irresistible. The Holy Spirit is the irresistible side of God. The mystery, the triune God, the Trinity, and the person who will keep revealing the mysteries of God to us. It's interesting that today, researchers have not only made powerful telescopes, but very powerful microscopes. They found that microscopes are so powerful that they can go deep down inside the atom. When I was a child, the most simple particle was an atom. Further than that, when they start continuing developing more microscopes, they found out there were protons and neurons, and then they found out there were hadrons, and then there were quarks, an entire galaxy in reverse. The mystery of God will forever be such. We will never fully understand Him, and that's the beauty of the God we serve. One God in three persons, the Holy Spirit continually revealing the truth of who He is to us. Probably a good way to understand this is much simpler. An old grandmother with an ATM machine. The mystery to her is where the money comes from or how it even gets there. She never fully understood how that happened. She only understood one thing. The card was given to her by her son. It was son who was responsible, and after that, the mystery is no longer a mystery. She doesn't even question how the money gets there or where the money comes from. She just wants to know more about the person of her son. This is the irresistible God we have in the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. He's one God in three persons. He's forever going to be a mystery, and we will never fully understand Him, but we will always desire, because the very existence of the fact that there is a God like Him, the same way that there's an ATM machine, tells us there's a reality and a person behind that. Now, further, we know that the gods of the past were angry gods, multiple gods, but Jesus talked about one God in three persons. A God who was for all of eternity in relationship with Himself. A simple truth about this theology is that God did not need us to express His love. He was well capable of having a relationship within Himself, which is really what makes this God irresistible, a God of relationships. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is really more than just a revelation of a truth. It is actually expressed in this relationship between a Father and a Son, and a witness of the Holy Spirit that reveals this truth to us, a God who loves us and a God who desires to have a relationship with us. Further in John 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." Now, it's nice to think that if Jesus was with us physically present all day long, that would be great. Every time we had a problem, He'd be there to pick us up. Every time we were committing sins, and He would be there to stop us. But here's what He said. It is to your advantage. It is for your good. It is better for you that I go away. And the question is, why? And He answers that by saying, "For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Why is it more advantageous? Because the Holy Spirit will come to us. And if He goes, He will send Him to us. Which brings us to the second point. Infinitely available. The Holy Spirit is not just an irresistible person. He is infinitely available. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice the words blowing from like a violent wind from heaven. If we don't know that the Holy Spirit is a person, we probably will misunderstand Him as a kind of force from heaven. But the reality is that's not true. The truth is the Holy Spirit is a person while can manifest in a violent wind that comes from heaven. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Each of them came to rest. The Holy Spirit rested in each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. What Jesus was saying was the presence of this infinite God, His infinite presence of this person will be upon each and every one of us. It goes on in John chapter 16, verse 13, "But when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you." Notice the words He, Jesus, making sure that we understand the Holy Spirit is not a force, is saying, but when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on His own accord. He will only speak what He hears, and He will tell you. Jesus was making sure we understood that the Holy Spirit was a person who was infinitely available. Why? Because He is inside of us. That's better than someone who's physically stopping you or picking you up. That's someone who's readily available and readily present every time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the most powerful thing about what we can understand about the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, it says, He will guide you in all the truth, and He will not speak on His own. He will only speak what He hears, and He will tell you. In other words, infinite person with unlimited wisdom. When we, armed with zeal, armed into the kingdom of God, empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, we'll have unlimited wisdom to live out the year of 2021. It also goes further and says it's not just unlimited wisdom, but unlimited encouragement. In John 15, verse 26, it says, "And I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of My Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth." The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Jesus said, is the divine encourager. You and I need encouragement. 2021, 2020, or whatever year may come, we need the presence, the everlasting available presence of the Holy Spirit. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth. It's great to have a warm hand holding us when things are not so good. But the reality is there's something far greater than just a warm body, the Spirit of God inside of you. When I think about encouragement, I'm reminded of the 1900s. This picture of these children, 14-year-old boys, in the 1900s is a great reminder of the encouragement of God throughout history. The 1900s, if you were born in 1900s and by 1914 to 1918, you would experience a World War I. At 14 years old, for 4 years, at the end of that, you would have seen 22 million people perish. By the end of that war, you would realize that there will be 1918 to 1920, there will be 2 years of a horrible pandemic, far worse than what we're experiencing right now. In fact, 50 million people would die. By the end of that pandemic, you would realize 9 years later there would be a Great Depression, an economic setback that was so bad and so depressing that 25% of the world will lose their jobs. And right after that, you would realize at the age of 41 that there will be another world war and even more people will perish. It was a bad set of years during those first 40 years of the 1900s. But in those same period of time, there were things that would happen that would change life as we know it. Imagining, first of all, something as mundane as a zipper, invented in the early 1900s. Electricity was invented in that period of time as well. The airplane was invented and developed right about that time. The automobile was further developed and manufactured during those days. And guess what? Air conditioning was developed during those days. Bad for sure were the circumstances then, but there were great things that were happening as well. Then finally, the penicillin was invented by a little-known company called Pfizer. It's interesting how when we look at the Holy Spirit moving in that era, we find people like William Seymour, who started and spearheaded the start of the charismatic movement. We see people like C.S. Lewis and guys like Derek Prince and people like Merton, who was a Catholic monk who began to talk about the idea of the presence of mysticism in Christ. We saw a man named Karol Wojtyszek, which is now Pope John Paul II to many of us. There was Dorothy Day, the activist woman who began the change in women's lives through religion and through serving others. And on, we find people like Francis Schaeffer and our beloved Billy Graham. because even during those times, the Holy Spirit was well alive, moving with unlimited encouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 goes on to say, "For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control." God will never give you the spirit of fear, but He will give you the Holy Spirit who will give you mighty power, love, and self-control. The kingdom of God advances in the Holy Spirit in us. He is an irresistible person who is an infinite person whose unlimited wisdom, unlimited encouragement, and finally, unlimited support. This is why the Holy Spirit is critical to the way we live this year and for years to come, because He's an irresistible person, an infinite person, but more than that, He's also an intimate person. There's an interesting book entitled The People's Bible, written by a man named Derek Wilson. It chronicles the remarkable history of the King James Bible, the English Bible, the first widely most accepted English Bible ever translated. It was interesting because there were six teams that were asked to write this Bible, or to interpret it, or to translate it. Two teams from Oxford, two teams from Westminster, and two teams from Cambridge. By the time they all got together, there were Catholics and Puritans, there were Reformists, there were all kinds of people who were in these teams to be able to translate. But one poignant point was they had a tussle over whether to use the word Holy Ghost or the word Holy Spirit. It's interesting how some of these words can bring confusion to us. Back in those days, the word ghost means the inner sanctum of our lives. But then, by modern translations, by the time of Shakespeare, the word ghost began to mean the apparition of someone who's dead. And thus, they had to change from ghost to spirit. Point being, God is the very inner sanctum of our lives. He's interested in the very intimate parts of our life. God is not just an infinite person, He's an intimate person. The Holy Spirit is ever present, as we've said. And I said that earlier because what I meant by that is He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. And He will be with you wherever you go, even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death. And nothing can separate you from Him. This is the intimacy we find in this irresistible person who's infinitely present with unlimited wisdom, unlimited encouragement, and unlimited support. Secondly, He's ever personal. Many times, we fall into the rut of religion that is cookie cutter. But that's not the point of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us because He is very intimate and very real and very present with our own issues. Your issues and my issues are not all the same. Some have health issues, some have financial issues. My sin issues are not your sin issues. But the Holy Spirit gets very intimate and gets very personal, not just with our issues, but even in the way He communicates with us or the manner that He deals with our issues. This is the beauty of the Holy Spirit inside the kingdom of God. He is not just a force. He is a person who intimately wants to deal with our issues, to deal with our problems in a way, in a manner that He knows will be best for us. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." I'm often asked, "Pastor, how do you make decisions in times that are hard?" And I often answer by saying, I ask the Holy Spirit, "Is this righteousness, is this peace and joy that will come from you?" When we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have the irresistible presence of a God of relationship, a person who's infinitely available with unlimited wisdom, unlimited encouragement, and unlimited support. But more importantly, He's intimate. He's ever present. He's ever personal. And finally, He's ever active. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God prepared for those who love Him." No eye has seen. This is what mystery is. No eye has seen it. No ear has heard it, and no mind is capable of conceiving it. And it says, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active. The idea that the Holy Spirit is no longer active this day is a fallacy and a lie. The truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is well alive and able to help you in this season. Further, it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Notice where it says, even the deep things of God, for who knows the person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. There you go. God, the Holy Spirit, is God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. We have received the Spirit of God no less, and so that we can freely love Him. At the beginning of this message, I showed you this picture, this infinite picture of a flame that is blue and orange and yellow, and the water, the idea of someone who is irresistible, infinite, and intimate. This is the person of the Holy Spirit, an irresistible person, one God in three persons, forever a mystery, a God of relationship, an infinite person who is infinitely available with unlimited wisdom, unlimited encouragement, and unlimited support, an intimate person who is ever present, ever personal, ever active. As I end this message, I want you to join me in a short proclamation of Jesus. I want you to take a piece of bread and a cup, because when we do this and proclaim who Jesus is and how He died for our sins and sent us His Holy Spirit. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, God who is with us every day, every time, and in every way. We so appreciate His person and presence that is so irresistible as He reveals more of you and the Father to us. In Him, we have the unlimited wisdom, encouragement, and support. We proclaim His ever-present, ever-personal, ever-active life in us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.